Welcome to Sunday Service with Dr. Paula Price. Take a seat, open up your Bible, and prepare to enjoy an evening of praise, worship, revelation, and insight as Dr. Price releases pearls of wisdom from the throne of God. Tonight's praise and worship is presented by Prophet Ursula Wright. Visit www.uwright.com for her ministry contact and booking information. Again, that's www.uwright.com.
Your precious blood, Jesus. And I hail your name. For even your word magnifies above the name of Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
We're going to be on a journey. This is our journey. We're only going to introduce it tonight. But we're going to be on a journey. I laid that out for you to understand as you're listening to me, to take soul inventory.
Amen.
Why don't you write that down? Because the next 3 days, you will be inventorying your soul. Isn't that good?
Amen.
We need to get rid of this light here. Whoever the superstar is. And here's why. You cannot heal something you haven't inspected.
Amen.
You get a cut, you have to look at it, don't you? You want to look at it. The doctor will not just say, ooh, that's bleeding, that's great, but drop the blood and say, all right, well, I'm just going to give you this, this, and this. They got to look at it and then ask you pain intensity.
Right.
And then they ask you your allergies.
Amen.
So you have to inspect life before you correct life.
Amen.
There are things you want to do in your life, and you dive in, and then you find out after you dive in, that wasn't good. Okay, so I failed there.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, okay? So I want you to understand that this is going to be soul inventory. Now, some of you all are not going to come back. And you're not going to come back because you've got the fairyland mentality about God.
Wow.
Mm. But understand, and I say this to you apostolically, you will have missed the day of your visitation.
Amen.
And you will have missed the way God is going to bless you.
Amen.
This is a journey. God does not force you to take his medicine, but he likewise will not force his rewards on you either. Is this making sense? So you're going to be on a journey. We're going to talk about born to be wealthy. You are a natural money maker. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you in here would say, I am a natural money maker? Okay, four of you. So tell me quickly, why do you say you are? You have gifts and callings that God intends to use. What, who has the hand up over here? Somebody? Yes, why do you say? Okay, so let me ask it to you. Are you making money off of that now?
No, ma'am.
Okay, so.
Well,
I didn't ask you if you're doing it in little change.
I'm making money for other people.
Right. It's not your calling. Okay, so what you're making money on is not your calling.
Right.
Okay, I want to get it right.
What I'm making money on is the gift, not the calling.
Okay, the gift. Okay. So I'm going to tell you that every one of you here who is employed is making money.
Amen. Right, right. Yeah, that's right.
Every one of you are money makers today.
Amen.
The problem is what she just said.
Uh-huh.
You're not making money for you.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You're making money for others.
For others.
Now, there are about 10 of you in here who make a lot of money, except you don't handle it well. So you're always struggling. I know, don't you hate it when people like me stand up there all in this stuff? Oh, the only thing I haven't said is your name, and you're glad to that. Thank you, gosh. Some of you all are poor stewards.
Yeah. Right, right.
So I have something in here that we're going to cover called poverty and prosperity, breeders and feeders. There are things that you believe that feed your poverty. And there are things that others believe or demand that feed their prosperity. But you are. Everybody in here is a natural money maker.
Amen.
Right now. A baby makes money.
Amen.
But they don't go to work yet, but they get you to go to work for them.
Wow.
And you meet all their needs with your money.
That's right. Wow. Yeah.
All they got to do is cry.
Yeah.
Half of you are broke because your children cry. You can't handle it.
Yeah.
Y'all probably deserve to be broke. You're going to let somebody who cannot really turn a paycheck tell you how to spend your paycheck.
My Lord, my Lord. My God.
Well, my kids just won't wear this, but then they go naked. I told you, I always tell the story. Thank God my daughter's not here on this trip. I always tell the story because they used to have this. I have great kids. But you know, I tell the story. My daughters, they, you know, teenagers. And I want to wear this because this is the style. They want this label and that way. I said, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy some thread. And we will sew your label on this no name. And we're going to put your name on it. Because your name looks as good on your behind as anybody else. I said, I refuse to dress you in something to show off somebody else's name. We're going to put price on your butt. We'll come up with some sort of flower, some family crest. Come on, we can do it. And let me tell you something. Today you can do that. Give your nice little family crest. Kids say, what does that mean? You say it's my family crest. Next thing you know, the whole high school family got to think. Because you should be a trendsetter. Innovator. But you're a slave to the people who say, I will never be broke.
Amen.
It takes mindless and blind following to make a business rich.
Amen.
Now, I'm not against it because I sure enough am going to be. I don't have a problem with that at all. And I apologize. I did not take about poverty. But you make money every day for someone else. So you have already put a price tag on your gifts.
Amen.
Your price tag is your annual wage.
Yeah.
Now, some of you say, I don't make enough money. Isn't that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, your company thinks you make just enough.
That's right.
They're not even going to give you a raise.
That's right.
They're like, oh no, you know, we're going to have to hold increases this year.
Yeah.
And then you're going to read the paper how much dividends their shareholders got.
Yes.
So, you know, they think the shareholders deserve more than you.
Yeah.
Everybody deserves more than you. And maybe they do, depending on what you do. You know, I don't know. Okay? So, this is Born to Be Wealthy, natural money maker training. You are making money every day. Every day.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something. Criminals are probably the most industrious folks you ever seen. But criminals got one thing beat over you. You know what they got? Faith. They're tight. country is stacked against them. They're going after it anyway. They know that they're going to lose their liberty. They can't vote. They can't do anything. And you know what? They said, but I'm going to take a chance. Criminals. Now, am I celebrating that? No. But I'm telling you, the principles of the earth work.
Amen.
And you are going to have to learn how the principles of the earth work. And one thing that guarantees poverty is fear.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Fear guarantees poverty. As long as you are afraid, the second thing that guarantees poverty is laziness. I don't want to work that hard. Girl, I got to be home at 5. I don't sweat like that. I'm sorry, I ain't gonna do that. Laziness. God said, go to the ant, you sluggard. He cursed laziness.
Yeah.
He cursed it with what? He cursed laziness with poverty.
Mm. Come on now. Oh my God.
He did. Didn't he? Yeah. He said, a little slumber, a little sleep, and so will your what? Poverty, say, who said it? Poverty come upon you.
Yeah, amen.
So you be home, sleep by 9, broke by 10. Y'all still loving on me?
Yeah. Wow.
If I treat the cause, you'll cure the consequences.
Amen.
So I have to get, that's why I made all of those comments to you in the beginning of this discussion, because I wanted you to begin to recognize some causes and some consequences that have become subliminal in your soul. They're so subtle you don't even realize they're working, and you don't know when you activated them. And you activated them, some of you, so long ago. Is that right?
Jesus.
You activated them so long ago that you forgot that you set it in motion and forgot to go back and disarm them.
Yes.
So they're still working. Same situation. They're still working. Hallelujah. Take the little kid, case in point. Take the little kid who's always on punishment, always sent to their room. That little kid will sit there and have to soothe their pain with something. So what do they soothe that pain with? A vow. When I get older, I'm never going to be home. Nobody's ever going to make me do it. At 16, that kid's a street runner. That kid gets married, still can't be home. That kid gets a job, can't come home after work. That kid doesn't even know. Family is angry, disappointments all over the place, people fussing, whatever. But you know what? The kid can't stop. Because the vow was never expired.
Amen. Amen.
Does that speak to anybody here?
Amen.
You are all in bondage to childhood vows.
Uh-huh.
That you've never gone back to expire. It's like turning on your alarm and then going to move out of the country. If you live out in the field, that alarm will keep going until the energy run out or something. If you continue to pay the electrical bill from afar, that alarm is going to go off and keep going off for no reason, for a reason. It's going to keep going. Why? Because you did not come back to disarm it. Some of you all were your tempers. There's a vow in that temper. Some of you all, your foul mouth, your angry, your edginess, your mistrust, your doubt, your gossip, your backbiting, all of those have a root.
Yes.
Amen.
Hi, this is Prophet Ashley. Luke 6 tells us to give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Because you've been blessed by today's message, go to www.drpaulaprice.com and click on Sow a Seed. And now for the continuation of today's message.
And it's those roots that we have to deal with. So you can't stop. Which is why, think about this. Talk about soul saboteurs. You find that you always get to a point of breakthrough. I mean, it's great. It's right there. You know, this is the death. Everybody's told you today is prophecy, and what happens? The day of the breakthrough, something happens. You've got this thing so wired in the spirit that your car will break down, that your kid will get sick, that your house will have a problem, because you have authorized those spirits of sabotage to see to it that you never meet with success. You will literally give birth to a child that's sickly, so that you'll always have to leave work. You'll always have to disappoint others because of that vow. Is this useful?
Yes.
So you think the reason you're broke is one thing, but God knows it's something else. Because you're not broke because of what's in your pocket.
Amen.
You're broke because of what's in your heart.
Hallelujah.
You have a lot of mothers who will never do well in life because their children will always be there as an escape.
Come on.
And you have built up your family to never be disappointed because you were always disappointed. So you allow your children to regulate your progress in life. And you will console what you do with this statement, because I know what it's like. I remember when. So you're not really taking care of your kids. You're tending the little kid in you.
Yeah.
Good. Is that a...
Yeah.
Oh my God.
How many of you are tending the little kid in you?
Amen.
Because your child doesn't even... How about you being in debt? I mean, every Christmas. It's so much a part of your life. You're like, Christmas coming, and my child need this. You got layaway. You got all of this stuff that you want to give your child for Christmas.
Yeah, come on.
That they have broken by New Year's.
Absolutely.
And you're paying for it for 5 years.
Yeah.
Then cut up the card.
Yep.
Garnish your wages. You got a garnish on stuff that you can't even remember you bought. Like, I don't even know what happened with that.
True.
And they got the nerve to be mad because they want you to pay for what you forgot.
Yep.
I don't know why they're chasing me for this, because they didn't forget.
So true.
But why do you keep doing it every year? Because your disappointment is making the decision.
Amen.
Oh my God.
Your children don't need it.
Come on.
They don't appreciate
it. Come on.
Half of them are telling you because they appreciate manipulating too. A lot of parents don't realize that children become adult manipulators. And manipulating adults were once manipulating children.
Yes. Amen.
So you are going to have to figure out how much of your debt and your lack and your suffering is ministering to your little child that you have never released. That kid is still crying.
Jesus.
Still crying today.
Jesus. Wow. Yes.
And if you listen to people, you can hear it.
Yes.
But that is what's stopping you from getting to work on time. That's what's stopping you from having a promotion.
Come on, please.
You're passing up a promotion because I got to be home for dinner because you hated being a latchkey kid. Am I good?
Yeah.
Forgetting those things that are behind.
Yes.
Pressing forward to those things that are ahead.
Amen.
See, you are living in your childhood past.
Yes.
Half of you all committed adultery because of that kid.
Mm.
Because you feel like you passed up some sort of romantic moment that you never got rewarded for.
Come on, preach. Wow. Yes.
And a lot of you all keep having affairs because in your mind, you passed up. Some of you because you were raised too strict. Others because you just had to work. Others because of some other calamity. But you are in those relationships and you are violating your marriage covenant because you feel like you were violated as a kid when you were helpless. And so you're dealing with the helplessness by abusing someone else.
Jesus.
So what happens? You get married. You take that little, that bratty kid into your marriage, and you use that marriage, and what you do is you force that spouse to do what the parents didn't do. And when they don't, you punish them. You loving on me? She said we hit. Ow, I'm hit. Now why is this important? Because then what happens, you get divorced. Divorces are expensive. You lose the ground you've gained materially. And you're always starting all over again. And you have to start all over again, because when you hit the peak of what that child hit, when life changed, you did not figure out where to go from there, so you go back and start it all over again. Which is why you've been married 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. Because you can't go beyond the solution you provided for yourself as a kid. So you have to keep the cycle going. Because it's the kid that's forcing a spouse to do what a parent or an authority figure didn't do. You didn't buy me that doll for Christmas. You old. They don't make that doll any longer. Honey, even the same company. Oh, no, we don't do that. The only way you get that doll is to go to a vintage museum. And when you get it, you still can't enjoy it. Because you're not that kid. And you didn't get it from mom and dad. You see, you cannot go. The building that it happened to is gone. The teacher that did you wrong is dead. So, and that only adds to the problem. So you can't resolve it. Listen, lack of resolution is where you're stuck. And so what's in your heart that should be devoted to prospering your life is protecting those childhood vows. So therefore the saboteurs keep coming up. You get a job, they love you. You're just so wonderful. You're smart. You're quick. You're obedient. You're diligent. Until they say the word. What word is it? The word that triggered it all your life. And Satan's going to make sure they say that word if they've yet never used that term in their life. But when it comes up, for this will to turn again, and all of a sudden, you're changed toward them. And all of a sudden, they go into the punishment wheel. You punish bosses, friends, loved ones, leaders, pastors, churches, you punish ministries and ministers. You punish everybody. Because that kid couldn't strike back. I was too little. So you are constantly striking back at life. And you're not even seeing it correctly. And so, where prosperity should be breathing in your heart, your punishments and the sophistication of that punishment now that you're an adult. And we don't want to miss denial. Soul inventory. Tell somebody soul inventory. It's time for us to inspect our own souls. Is this helping you all? Because see, we stand up and preach all of that. You're okay, I'm okay. And then you walk out of there, you sing, you dance, you roll on the floor, you froth, you vomit out a few froths, and you go, okay. And you go back to your house, and on the way home, those same devils are saying, I bet you thought that worked, didn't you? But you know, I'm still here. Don't you hear me? Boom, it's me. Because his authorization came from something you haven't discovered. This is important. And so every time you start a business idea, you got a new business. I'm going to make some money. You ain't in the business? Isn't that nice? Get your first paycheck, and you go out and you reward yourself instead of replenishing your stock. Some of you all are always living in your own youthful reward system.
Come on, Dr. Price.
Some of you all fall into sin every 4 years. Because you felt like, I've been good for 4 years. I deserve a sin today. And you go on, you know, you're like that movie Purge. You need a night to tear up everything that you've got. Okay? So let me just give y'all a rule. Dr. Price don't need help. And if you plan to shut me up, I'm so stubborn, I'm going to read it the wrong way. I'm almost done because I know it's late, but do you all think this was worth it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. So you have, you built in seasons where you think it's okay to be bad. And it's okay to be a little naughty. I've been nice. I deserve a naughty. And it's always the most inopportune time.
Yes.
It's always when it's going to cost you the most.
Yeah, amen.
Some of you are, man, I've been married to the same person for 15 years, and I need to try something else. Somebody else would have thought that was a celebrated moment.
Right.
You know, they want to say, whew, I mean, I've been with the same person for 15 years, and we're still just as in love? Uh-uh, not you.
Yes.
Mm-mm. I've been with the same person for 15 years. My goodness, what all did I let go by?
Absolutely.
You don't realize that's a soul saboteur.
Yeah.
And in the moment you have to do it, and those spirits are so strong, they work your sleep, they work your dreams, they work your friends, they pick your TV shows, they set it up, they even set your DVR for you.
Wow.
So that they can have their reinforcements. And it's not until the taste has been satisfied that the consequences begin. And you realize you're getting ready to lose everything.
Yes.
That you built in your game for 15 years. Why? Because you felt like you were just as strapped in that situation as you were the kid that couldn't get out of the room, couldn't go on a date, couldn't go on a ride, couldn't join the team. And it comes around. I have learned in my life, this is how I learned to beat this thing, I have paid attention to the cycles of my life.
Come on. Amen.
And I taught my church to do it. Because see, the same sins, seductions come up in the same cycle. That's why you say, and you'll know it's a cycle because this is what you'll say. Why does this keep happening to me? Or this always happens to me. You say it all the time. Why are you saying it? Because that's when you need to look at it. Whatever you end up saying that, or stop in that moment and say, you know what? I have to give this some inspection.
Amen.
I need to examine this.
Amen.
I'm doing good. And all of a sudden, the cycle, the season of the cycle begins. And you start thinking about not how good you're doing, but how you deserve a celebration. Or some accolade for the good that you've done. Because we always treat goodness as temporary. And we treat sin as an excursion from goodness. But remember, you don't choose the consequences. You only choose the course of action. So you get the choice, the option, but you don't. And so that is why at the end of a 15-year marriage, 18 months after that, you're living in a one-room flat, visiting your children every other week, trying to figure out how to tell them what happened to the home that they once felt safe in, and trying hard to figure out what was so good about him anyway. And then you want to tell you that he wasn't all that good anyhow. Yeah, well, you're a little late for that. That's pretty late for your criticism. You probably should have been there the first time around. So we're going to talk about you dealing with that. Do you see the little highway signs there? See, we're going to get rid of those, and you're going to end up in your success as a wealthy money maker. Because you don't realize sometimes God won't give you money because you got so much soul damage and so much soul clutter. He knows that you would use your money to kill yourself.
Amen.
You were born to be wealthy.
Amen.
And success is your destiny.
Amen.
But you are a diamond in the rough. You are a diamond in the rough. But you know what? You're going to find out. You're a diamond in the rough. Born to be wealthy. Built for enduring wealth. You're built for it. Because you were born again for God's prosperity.
Amen.
Not for Satan's poverty.
Amen.
But God will not put anything in your life that's going to cause you to separate from Him. He's just not going to do it. Now people will do it. Here's another thing. Y'all going to love this. I think you're going to want to write this. Because I'm almost done. I'm just giving you the introductory slides. Because this is a real trainer. You don't want to write this. There's a difference between being renowned or overexposed. We in the church expose our young people so early that they think they are experts and they think they're experienced when they're just overexposed. So you think you know stuff you don't know.
That's right.
I know because I've been preaching since I was 16. First of all, those little 30-second things you went was nothing but commercials. Those were not 30.
Amen.
All you did was get good at doing some commercials, a few sound bites from the Bible. I wanted to say from God. Because anybody who would put a 16-year-old over adults.
Yes.
To deliver a sermon and the adults respond to it, that's crazy. That is crazy.
Amen.
I listen to people tell me, well, I've been in the ministry, here you are, you 36 years old. I've been in the ministry 20 years. First of all, you were in elementary school,
right?
And then you had to get through high school. You did graduate high school, right? You know, you have to ask, because some of these kids did not do that.
Amen.
Okay, and then you had to get a job. Now, when you got out of high school, did your pastor put you in full-time ministry training?
Amen.
Well, no, we had the minister's cat class once a week.
Yeah.
You realize you can't get a job going to a class once a week and get a good pay.
Amen.
So I'm not impressed that you had 14 hours of training that took 9 years.
Amen.
Took 9 years for you to finish 14 hours of training. One subject. One subject. And you're standing up with somebody who has done this thing for 35 years, over 1,000 hours in a month. You gonna tell me you're not? Well, I don't care. I know you don't know anything. All you know is some unenlightened leader put you in power so that he could discredit the truth of Jesus Christ. That's the only reason you put a kid up. And I'm gonna tell you something. The Bible said when you put a kid in an authority, it's a sign of God's judgment. And that God only allows kids to judge you when you act like a child so much that his mature ones are wasted on you.
My God.
They said, we get by definition, they said it takes 10,000 hours to be considered an expert in anything.
Amen. That's right.
So preaching once a quarter or every fifth Sunday, probably not going to make you an expert. I don't think it's gonna happen. I don't know. You help me out. I could be wrong. You think I'm jumping to conclusions here? I could be reading into this. Half of y'all can't get a promotion on your job with those kind of albums. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that. So these ministers, these 28 years old and 30 somethings that you're chasing, you don't even listen to the fact that they got nothing to say. Because wisdom takes the time it takes.
Yes.
Now, unless they were born a genius, because I do believe that we have geniuses who are just, but these kids were smart at two.
Yeah. Amen.
How about this? We put kids over ministries who are immoral and tell you not to fornicate. But they young, they saw in their wild oats. Why can't I sow some old ones? Etc.
Amen.
I'm going to show you two more slides and we're going to end it. Is that all right?
Yes.
Are you enjoying this?
Yes. Yes.
Are you all enjoying yourself?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Yes. You know what? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
That's it.
And because we didn't tell you the knowledge of the enemy, well, you don't have knowledge of the holy, only the knowledge of the profane. Because that's on television all the time. Tackling money's enigmatic resistance, fighting it, treating it, curing it. You see this little guy? He's protesting his poverty. Some of us have made a room for ours. So we're going to talk about money's elusiveness, money's secret laws, money's ancient guardians, money's judgments. Now the judgments are the best part, because most of the reasons that you are where you are today is because of your money judgments.
Yes.
How you judge money.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Is that good?
Absolutely.
Goal. Money treatments and cures. Objects, power of thought, talk, money, beliefs, and judgments. We'll pick up from there tomorrow.
Amen.
Thank you for attending today's Sunday sermon with Dr. Paula Price. Don't forget to participate in Dr. Price's live, weekly, interactive radio talk show right here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, that is www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.